Okay. Hey, Fatty, thank you so much for sharing your story with me and everyone on the website. Can you please tell everybody who you are, what you do, and what your life was like before the program?
So my name is Tatiana. I am almost 40. I'm going to be 40 in July. I was born in Brazil, moved here when I was 20, and was very independent, moved here, left my whole family behind, and I came here, went to school, started working, and worked for different companies doing different things, and got married. And when I got pregnant, I decided to leave my job. I was working for the Department of Homeland Security at the time. Throughout my life, I had had, you know, bouts with depression and anxiety, like on and off. But, you know, they usually come, stay for a little bit, and then leave. But after I got married and I got pregnant, my first daughter passed away, and that really made my depression worse and my anxiety through the roof. I got pregnant again after a year, and even though I love being a mom, I quit my job to stay home with my kids. I had severe anxiety and at times like really bad depression as a stay-home mom. Even though I love my kids, there's nothing rather I'd be doing in the world, but I still struggle with that a lot.
Yeah. And then what, I know you worked on yourself, you tried to work on yourself, you've also used different kind of coaches. Can you tell me more of all the other modalities that you've tried and how and what kind of led you to the point of us working together?
So I tried almost everything. I did therapy for many years. After I moved here, did therapy on and off. I did a hypnosis. I did a weight loss coach. I did a wellness coach. I did personal trainers. I did chiropractic, like anything that you can think of that was like focused on, you know, I did Overeaters Anonymous and binge eating disorder coaches and everything. I had a really bad emotional eating problem, and I just, like I said, depression, anxiety, and I would, you know, go through those stages, and I would like do really good for a while. And then like, sure enough, like something else would come back, like either the depression or the anxiety or both. And I tried everything, EFT, CBT, NET, like everything.
And then what were you, and I know you and I met through a yoga program, and then we were just kind of keeping in touch, but what were you seeking when you saw what I posted and when you reached out to me? What were you realizing, and what made you realize that you needed help?
I realized that all the depression and anxiety, like I had done some readings, and you know, I had been like doing self-help books and everything, and I did realize that a lot of the anxiety and the depression that I had were because of the thoughts in my head. It was the way that I thought, my thought patterns, you know. But I also tried that whole positivity thing, be positive all the time and write, you know, affirmations everywhere, and that wasn't working for me. So I knew it had to be deeper than that. So your post spread resonated with me because of that, because he mentioned the whole, like, you know, get rid of past traumas and past, like, thought patterns, like stuff that was just stuck on you, emotions that were stuck in your body and you couldn't get rid of them. So that's what resonated with me. I knew I needed to go deeper than the surface. It wasn't just about, like, my daughter passing away or being a stay-home mom all of a sudden. Like, there was something deeper than that, and I just couldn't get to it by myself.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And then it was a little, the program a little apprehensive about like what's going to happen. What did you expect going in, and what did you actually get out of it? I know that you said that you were aware that you wanted to fix the pain, but what did you actually think was going in? Think you were going to get going in, and what did you actually get out?
I thought it was going to be another, I mean, I had a lot of confidence on it, but I was also scared. I have done a lot of stuff in the past that hadn't worked for me. I thought that I was going to be okay for a little bit, and then all of a sudden it was going to get bad again, just like, you know, my pattern had been. So I just I was expecting some improvement. I wasn't expecting to like completely like remove this blockage that I had, which is what ended up happening.
Yeah, and a lot of the audience or the people listening probably won't be able to understand what blockages mean just yet. So for you, what blockages were you actually able to remove? And I know for us, you and I worked together for 3 months. But I mean, even just the first few days, I remember some of the things that we cleared like fears around leaving the house, a lot of the fears around, just even driving down the street. Can you talk to me or the audience about what that was like for you?
So yeah, I had a lot of anxiety towards like taking my kids out of the house, being by myself with them, just even connecting like with other people. I didn't trust anybody. With the girls, like I do a lot of stuff with them, but before, like, we would just spend so much time at home and I would just feel so guilty because I didn't take them anywhere. And it was just, I just couldn't bring myself to, like, I couldn't put them in the car. Like, I didn't feel safe enough. But I think the borderline, I think that we finally got to was that it was that my feeling of like being not being good enough, of being worthless, of like not deserving to be happy, and that kind of showed up on every aspect of my life. All the self-sabotage that I did, or the fact that I felt like I couldn't protect my kids, or the fact that, that I felt like I didn't deserve to have them, and the minute I left the house, something bad was going to happen. So that was all rooted in that same like thought process, that blockage that was kind of governing my life.
And then one of the other things that I remember too was I hope you don't mind me sharing. Do you mind me sharing a piece of what we talked about?
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So the thing that really stuck out to me was when we cleared your compulsion with food. And I know you've
seen
every weight loss program. You were working with a personal trainer, done all of compulsion food in 2 sessions. Technically, we did it in 1, but we went in for the second one just to make sure it was complete.
Yeah.
And one of the things that were hidden in there was you wanted to be big so that you could protect yourself and your kids. And then also, it was like food was a way for you to completely express yourself or to soothe yourself. Can you talk to me what that experience was like for you going through those sessions and actually understanding yourself in a way that made sense to you that you could actually move on from?
Yeah, so I did equate it, like, as much as I wanted to lose weight and be in shape, I always thought in my head, well, at least I'm not a target. At least nobody's going to try to like kidnap me or murder me, or I felt safe in this size because I felt like I was easy to fight, if somebody wanted to do some harm towards me. And food became like, I mean, throughout my life, and then even more after my kids were born, like food became like a source of like happiness and anguish at the same time. I used food to like reward myself, and then I would use food to punish myself. Like I had that, that same feeling that like I wasn't good enough. So every time I actually started doing good and losing weight, then I would immediately, like as soon as I noticed that I was losing weight, I would start eating again because I felt like I didn't deserve it. Like I had that idea in my head that the only thing I need to be happy and perfect is to lose weight. So I wouldn't let myself lose the weight, because as long as I had the weight, I didn't, then I didn't have to worry about like all the other problems in my life. I could just focus on that problem. So yeah, so it was really good for me to see like how I was using food, how it became more than just food. I'm sorry.
Sorry, here are your kids. Remind me again how it was like after the first session and the session. How has it been for you?
It was just, I just started feeling like a normal person. If I had like a bite of something, I didn't feel the urge to keep eating until I was sick. you know, if I craved something and I was able to get that food, then I would indulge in my craving and have a bite or two and I would be okay. But if I didn't have it and I would just kind of put it in the back of my mind and, you know, eventually I would get another craving for something else. Like, it wasn't like this, I need to have it, or it's the only thing that makes me happy. It's the only thing that I have. Every, you know, so that was like very eye-opening to me, to realize that food was just food. It didn't have to be like a big thing.
Yeah.
I was able to, you know, eat, like, I, not every meal had to be this like event. It could just be like, oh, you know, I'm just hungry now, so I'll just have some eggs and rice, whatever, and then later maybe I'll have a better meal. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have to be everything. It didn't have to be like a main dish and dessert. And so it became more of a second thought, just more normal.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I remember you walking yourself up for it too, because it's like you were so so busy with trying to eat more and more, and the more that you ate, the more, the worse you felt. And so then that took away the pain of even just keeping yourself alive.
Yes.
And then also I wanted to back, so you not only broke your compulsion with food, but you were also anxious to leave the house with your kids. But then a few months later, I mean, even after the first session, when we cleared that fear of not being safe, you were able to go out and explore.
I started taking them everywhere. We don't stay home now. Like, we went apple picking, and I booked a trip to Brazil. I had never taken them to Brazil. That was one of my fears. My family kept telling me I should go, and I never had the courage, but I have a trip booked. We're going in May. And now we do stuff all the time. Like, today is a day that we're home for some reason. And they're like, oh my God, thank God. Because, like, they get tired too, because we're always out and about now.
Wow. Yeah, and that's completely opposite of what you were experiencing before. Because from what I remember, you said you were so tired and fatigued all the time because of all the fighting that you did with your stuff.
Yes, my brain, I was so tired all the time because my brain never stopped thinking, and it was exhausting.
Yeah, and I remember you said that you only got up to make sure that your children were fed, and now you're constantly getting up, right?
Yeah. For a while, that's what it was. Like, I would get up and sit in the couch, and just my only thing that I did all day was, like, take care of them. That was all I could bring myself to do. But now, like, I've been going hiking every Saturday with my friends. This is going to be the fifth Monday in a row that I go to yoga. Me and my husband have been going to the gym a couple times a week. I've been going more out with, like, leaving the kids at home with my husband and being able to go out without, like, obsessing about what's going on. I started reading again. Before, I couldn't bring myself to read because I couldn't pay attention to a book because my mind would start wandering, and I just couldn't. I couldn't bring myself to read. I stopped reading, and now I've, like, it's since the beginning of the year, I read, like, 6 books. Because if my kids are at home or if I have downtime, instead of, like, beating myself for it or going crazy in my head, I can actually sit down and enjoy the downtime.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah, that's
impressive.
Yeah. We stopped working together in October is when we stopped working. So that was a longer streak of no anxiety attacks, no panic, no going back into depression, right? How's it been since we stopped working together?
Yeah, so my depression has been, like, gone. Like, I haven't had any depression. I've had little moments of anxiety, but nothing like we used to be. I had a pretty bad, like, December. I was diagnosed with, like, I had, like, an acute pancreatitis case where, like, I was in the hospital for 4 days. And then came home and had, a pulmonary embolism. So it was very traumatizing because it kind of came out of nowhere. But even through it all, like, I was able to stay calm. I was able to, like, relax and, like, stay home and rest. And sometimes I catch myself now, if something happens, like, I'll start getting anxiety because of that. But I can actually talk myself down. I actually used your techniques the other day at night because I was, like, I was, part of my brain was, like, sure that I was having a heart attack. And then I started, like, working and using some of your techniques. And I was able to bring myself down. So, even though, you know, I'm still normal, I still get that. And, like, some of my brain, imprint is just to, like, you know, go back to that behavior. But I catch it now. Like, I don't let it run wild. I catch myself before it gets even, like, a little bad. So I can recognize in myself when it's happening, because now I know how to cope with it.
That is so amazing. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Yes, because, I mean, that was the biggest hurdle for you before, was any little bump in the road would just take you back 20 steps back. So now,
yeah, before it was anything that would happen, like if I was having a streak of good days and any little thing happened, he was like back in the couch. I couldn't cope with anything.
And now you have this issue with actually hospitalized, and you're like, oh, it's fine.
Yes. And now all that guilt that I used to feel is gone, or like that worried about other people's judgments. Like, that's all gone now. Like I wouldn't go places sometimes because my kids didn't want to brush their hair. And I'm like, who cares if they don't brush their hair? Let people, I don't care. You know what I mean? Or like little things, like I would feel guilty. Like if I wanted to go somewhere, like I would feel so guilty if I didn't feel like going or cancel on somebody, that I would make myself sick and actually not be able to go. And now if I can't go, I can't go. I'm sorry if you're going to be mad at me. Like, I don't care so much about what other people think. I don't feel as judged because I don't judge as much. And I don't feel guilt. I don't feel like I'm a bad person. Like, I had to let all that go.
That's amazing. And you did that in such a short period of time. You did that in 3 months, and you've let go of your, you know, your miscarriage, your fear of, you know, going outside. You got your energy back. You booked a trip to Brazil with just you and your children, not even your husband, just you and your children. And you not only got rid of the negative self-talk that beats yourself up, but you also got your life back with food and your relationship with food by letting go of that need. Is that like comforted just by food? Is there anything else that I missed that in there? I mean, that's a lot. That's so much. And even anything people don't ever kick off.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was the whole story of my ex-husband that, like, I felt so much guilt and like shame and all these negative feelings associated with it. And we worked on it. And now I'm like, I'm going to his oldest, like one of his daughters is getting married. I'm going to her bridal shower. I chose not to go to the wedding, not because I felt bad or anything, but just for my peace of mind. And I told her and she was fine with either to me, but I'm still like involved on it. I'm making like robes for the bridesmaids. Like, it's not something that's causing me pain. Like, I was able to erase all the negativity surrounding that. And with different things, like, we worked with, you know, I had some negativity towards my mother-in-law, and that's gone. Like, I do stuff with her all the time now. Like, so all, like, those feelings that were all attached to this root problem of me not feeling good about myself and my low self-esteem and not feeling, like, good enough, like, they all started clearing once we got to that root, and everything just kind of started falling into place. And it's been really good.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't even know about that. I didn't know. I mean, I knew we worked on your ex-husband, but I didn't know that you still kept in touch with his daughters and that you now have.
Yeah, she's getting
relationship.
Getting married. Yeah, and I have her bridal shower coming up.
Wow. Okay, so now, well, how would you describe your overall experience with working together? How would you describe
it? It was great. It was really good. It was, you made me feel really comfortable. At points, you could tell me, I would hold back because I didn't feel, like, comfortable sharing something, but you always made me feel comfortable, and you could always tell if I was holding something back, which was amazing. So once I caught on to that, you know, I was like, I could, like, go more. I was like, you know what, even if I don't mention that, she's going to know I'm hiding. So I was able to open up, and then I never felt judged. I just felt peaceful every time after we talked. It just felt peaceful.
That's awesome. Yeah, and a lot of people are a little worried about letting their secrets be known. And I think that's one of the biggest people I encounter. What would you say to people who, you know, have that hesitation around being truly who they are, having somebody like me push the envelope a little bit here to get to that point?
So I really, truly believe from the bottom of my heart that if you keep the stuff to yourself, it's going to faster and it's going to get worse and it's just going to keep bringing you down. And in order to heal, you need to put it out somewhere. And of course, like, there's stuff that you don't want to tell to whoever. There's stuff that you don't want everybody to know. But if you find somebody, like I found you, and, you know, you made me feel so good about our therapy, our sessions together. You made me feel so good about opening up to you. You never judged me. I am so glad I was able to put this out to you, because now I feel healed. I don't have to repeat it to anybody else. So it's still kind of a secret between us, but I needed to get it out of me somehow. And you were the person that I was able to do that with. I was able to expose this. You were able, you know, you with your gift helped me like put it all together and find meaning on it and realize what parts of the experience I should bring with me to help me grow and what parts of the experience I could just let it go in the past and not carry with me from that moment on. And, you know, and that's okay. Like, yeah, it's scary to reveal yourself to somebody else, but if it's somebody that's going to help you look at the past in a different way and look at your trauma and look at your life and be able to just help you rearrange the pieces that you already have just so you can grow from there, that's the right person to share with.
That's awesome. Yeah, and if I were to summarize that, I think the word is, like, or maybe the phrase is like growing. You know what I mean? It's you have to lean into that discomfort.
Yes.
Lean into the discomfort that opening up would be temporarily discomfort, but it just gave you long-lasting gains that you're able to create a life and choose to create.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's terrifying. And of course, you don't want to, like, you know, sometimes you don't even want to tell another person because you don't even want to think about it. But you have to, because you think it's not, because you're not thinking about actively, it's not in you. And it is. You know, you find it. It's hiding somewhere. You know what I mean? It's there somewhere. And you need the right person to get it out. And yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to suck. You're going to cry. You're going to feel embarrassed. But once it's gone, once you realize that that can't hurt you anymore because you work through it, oh my God, it feels so amazing.
I 100% agree, because I use these methods every day, at least every week. And I have to, because, I mean, there are things that I'm working through too that, you know, constantly need retouching. That's awesome. Is there anything else that I missed that you'd like to describe or share about the process?
No, I mean, I loved it. Like you said, I still work on myself. I did it the other night, you know, and worked through, like, use your technique. But in order to learn it, you have to do it enough times with you, so you know what I mean, so you can understand the process. And you have to trust it. That's another thing. Like, you have to trust that the process is working. If you go on it with, like, a grumpy, and I feel like that might have happened with some of my old experiences too, but, like, I always felt this empathy with you. Like, we talked about this. Like, I had this natural empathy towards you. So I just trusted you from the beginning. I'm sorry. I've been having a cough, like, the past few days, but... So I trusted it that... what you were doing was going to work. So even when it was painful or when I felt like it was too much, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Even when I felt like, you know, it was too painful, I had to trust that we were doing the right thing and I had to get myself through it. And sometimes we had stuff that would take a couple of days to work through because, you know, I had resistance and stuff, but I always trusted that we could do it, that you could help me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm always honored to hear that because you did trust me. You took a leap of faith, not only yourself, but you took a leap of faith in me. And I'm just happy that I was able to deliver on that trust.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Is there anything else
that you want
to share with anybody who's listening?
No, trust. I think that's it.
Thank you so much, Daddy. I really appreciate it.
Of course.